So, gentlemen, Raj and Eddie, once again, we're back talking about the step or the phase of the program that talks about being ready or becoming ready to get rid of some things we don't like about ourselves, whatever they may be. And we talked a little bit about anger and rejection and control. And as we spoke even on the break, control seems to find its way into everything that we discuss. And, you know, and I think fundamentally, and this may be a slightly off topic, but I believe fundamentally that control is the basis of all of these negativities that get into our lives, whether they be of an addictive nature or whatever, it doesn't matter. I think we learn, those of us who dig deep enough, and we have to, right? Because we come to a place in life, you know, whether it's through drugs, booze, fear, loneliness, you know, mental illness, whatever it is, we come to a point where if we don't look pretty deep into ourselves, we never get a sense of that who we are thing. I mean, we don't know what to analyze, who to go to, where to go, why can't I find an answer. And control, it becomes very clear when you dig into these programs, like when the first step says, you know, we admitted we were powerless, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we all felt like somehow we had groomed ourselves to be a little more powerful than the next guy, know a little more, even if I can't express it, whatever, it doesn't matter. It always comes down to, you know, we put this false sense of control into ourselves, but then when we really look at ourselves, we come to grips with the fact that we're not. We've got Zippo when it comes to power. And if we don't, you know, if we don't either conform or copy or go to a higher power, you know, a spiritual aspect and ask for help. And you know, as we do these things, as we dig in, we realize we don't have control. And for a lot of people, and for, I think, huge amounts of people, that's too much to bear. Just, I'm not even in control of my own life. How am I going to live if I'm not in control of my own life? You know, who's going to, you know, how am I going to get by this? And over time, it seems that it's true, you know. And then if you can't deal with it, what do you do? How do you escape from who you are, what you are, and the fact that you're not in control? Well, you know, we'll compulsively do something, and those of us who are genetically flawed will find something that seems to work, whether it's drinking, drugging, or whatever, and sex, anything, you know, and we'll use that thing as the escape mechanism. And if we have that propensity, that genetic flaw, we'll cross a line and we'll become addicts of sorts, you know, to whatever it is. So I'm one who believes control is at the center of all, and it's that codependency, that that want to be in control, and then finding that we've failed at that, that pushes us into a repetitive compulsive escape that can become an addiction. So that's my personal philosophy and all that. One of the things that I found in this morning's readings that I thought was appropriate, even though it's not necessarily to do with step six, it's day 155, which if you count it up from day one to now, you would realize is June the 5th. And it's entitled, and it's by the folks who write all of our materials, basically, all of the life recovery materials, life meaning anything in life, not anything specific. Stephen Arterburn and David Stoop have put together, co-edited the Life Recovery Bible. They've written the Life Recovery Devotional and many other books. And this is one that has a reading for every day of the year. And today's is You Are Never Alone. And that, for people with, well, they've come to grips to some degree with their control problems or realize that they're not in control, they've got to reach out. And hopefully they find programs like this and like so many others in the whole STEP philosophy programs out there, that they don't stay alone, that we find people, we build community of some sort, even for us loners who really don't like necessarily being in community. We realize we need it. You know, we need people. You know, yeah, we need God. We know that, but we need people too. And I think that's really evident. And can either of you or both of you comment on what it's given you to get into community through the programs that you work, you know, whether it be this one or somebody mentioned AA before or any of the other programs, like how has community and having a place to go and a place to share been, you know, dramatic or whatever in building yourself a consistent workable life, either fellow?
Well, for me, community is probably one of the top three things that, you know, gets me up in the morning. You know, Raj and you and Jason and some other people in the program know about my history. You know, I'll just say for the reader, for the listeners, yep. You know, my parents died when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I've been homeless 5 times, hospitalization 15 times. And you talk about being alone before, you know, when I was alone for the first 26 years of my life. I had very few, I didn't have any friends growing up because a lot of it was my disability with speech impediment. But, now community has simply put, you know, given me a life. It's given me hope. It's been a stress releaser. It's given me a challenge. You know, I'm very involved in the community. I'm involved in AA. I'm involved in sharing the burden. I'm involved in the Toronto Employment Social Services clubs that I belong to, subcommittees that I'm on. I'm doing radio retreats. I mean, it's changed my life 180 degrees, like on a dime. It's given me hope. It's given me confidence. It's given me dear friendships that are going to last for a life. Community is what I'm all about. I'm even, for the last 4 years, I've been working hard on my recovery and nothing else. I worked on my mental illness and my recovery to my addictions. Mm-hmm. And it was basically four and a half years of what I used to call myself a professional patient, you know, dealing with doctors and psychiatrists and psychotherapists and CBT therapy and all the things that go along with my mental illness and so forth. And community has simply put just changed my life. It's given me a life, and it's something that I've even veered that I'm starting school in October, and I have a job interview coming up as a peer support worker. And my whole life has been changed dramatically. My whole life is about recovery. I don't relate unless I'm in recovery. Mm-hmm. And community is a huge, huge aspect of my life.
Okay, so Eddie, when you say recovery, just quickly, you know, are you of the same mind as I am that recovery is really growth or just healing in this world, isn't it? I mean,
it's healing.
It's getting to a better place.
Huh? Yeah, when my parents died, you know, I came from an atheistic background with my father, and I never went to church or believed in spirituality or religion or anything of that nature growing up. The only time I went to a church was for a funeral or a wedding, and that was it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I forgot the question. Can you tell me again?
No. Well, it was basically how community is added to your whole life. And then
you forgot it now, too.
If you forget it, Scott's never going to remember it. So, we'll cancel that, folks. We'll just say that question doesn't exist. But I know everything Eddie said is going to go a long way. Now, Raj will have to remember the question because now he has to answer it. How are we doing, Raj?
I'm be good.
Well, let's go back to community anyway for this part. And you've moved away. You know, you used to live Markham, Stouffville area. Now you're up in the Barrie area. But you're more in community there, I think, probably than you've ever been since I met you anyway, at least with programs. And another thing, and Eddie too, is community is one thing because that just means we're kind of involved with people, but a consistent community where you basically meet the same people with a similar bent, you know, a similar direction in life, and you do it often and consistently. So community is also building intimacy with more than one person, with groups of people. And anyway, Raj, have you done that in the Barrie area?
Yeah, the rooms of CA, NAA, they have changed the whole concept of people around me, because for a long period of time, for 50 years, even though I had a family, I always considered myself a loner. Because for me, I don't know for what reason, don't ask me, I felt that as my safety zone. I didn't want to come out of that zone. And if somebody tried to pull me out of that, make me uncomfortable, it would create problems. And then I continued to do life, I mean, continue to live life the way it was, not wanting to come out of this safe place. That's the reason why when things started to go haywire here and there, I ended up being an alcoholic. Now, when I moved to Barrie, I've come to realize that everything that has unfolded in my life till today, there is a reason behind every part of it. Going to Barrie, I think, has been really good. It's a blessing in disguise because I have found so many meetings there. I have found a lot of friends. And going to these meetings, meeting new people, hearing what they share, it's not only mixing around with people in those rooms, it's also rendering service. You help somebody out when they have issues, or you can drive them around because a lot of alcoholics don't have license. I'm the few lucky ones who has a license. So I can drive around and I have a car. So, you know, taking people out or even picking guys up for baseball. So, you know, I keep myself busy that way. So that's my community for today. It's the people who are my friends, who I share with in the rooms of AACA, wherever I go, any meeting. There has to be a meeting once a day in my life. Without that, I don't feel complete. And that's the honest truth. And also touching base with my sponsor every day. He's a great guy. And he's really made me look at life from a different perspective today, the way I used to look at life before. Today, I have a total different opinion of what life is. Learn to live life on life terms. And this is all because of coming together in a community and not isolating myself like before.
Well, thanks very much. And I think folks out there, you can see how important it is that we get together and form a group that we can meet with on a regular basis. And we, meaning us three at least, and pretty much everyone else who comes on this show, meet in a sense of recovery from something, you know. And again, it doesn't matter what it is. It's not just booze and drugs that can ruin a life, you know. It's a lot of other repetitive happenings in a life, behavioral messes. One of the results of all of this, and I think there's two things I want to mention. One is the word love. You know, we tend to feel, I think, when we're truly in community over a period of time, that these people really love me. And that's a strange thing for a guy like me to say, too, because like Radish, I thought I was born to be the lone wolf, you know, and realized that, and I liked it. You know, I patted myself on the back by how I could always survive and overcome and all this stuff. But inside it was not good. But it looked good even on the outside, you know. And you add some money and, you know, some nice cars and things to it. And, you know, people come to see you in the bar to get advice. it's pretty easy to build up a false esteem, you know, which really just means ego to me. And, you know, and I had a big one of those. Even though I didn't blast about it, it was there. You know, it was always there. But I really didn't have a community. Today, that's been replaced by truly feeling loved. And that happens to me even in the prison ministries we do. But I find those guys in there express love in their own special way, but more to me than the people outside, you know. And I never felt that at home, just like Raj was saying, you know. And regardless, cultures and all that stuff, in the end, it's, you know, even if we're brought up not to feel, it's when we start to feel that we start to live, you know. and much as feelings hurt so bad, but do you guys feel that now? Is love, do you feel loved in your programs by the people around you? And what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely feel loved. You know, when I first met my sponsor, Gary, you know, I thought it was going to be sort of like a business relationship. Mm-hmm. And it has turned into like one of the best, closest, dearest friendships that I've had. And just, yeah, like I feel loved. I feel loved by the people of AA and sharing the burden. Yeah. Not by everybody. Like I said, 10% of people don't like you. But, you know, one thing I learned is you don't have to like a person in the rooms, but you have to respect them.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel loved. I feel appreciated. I know I've been generous, and like maybe not financially. I have been generous because of my financial situation, but in other aspects of my life, if everyone ever needs a helping yeah. him with anything, I'm there for them. All they have to do is ask. And one thing I have learned, and in the church community, going to Stone Church, stuff like that, I feel appreciated and respected and loved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when in doubt, just ask for help. And it's difficult for me. I don't know about other alcoholics and mm-hmm. addicts, but for me, it's very difficult to ask for help. But every single time I ask for help, I get help.
Yeah.